is Psalm 95. And if I was a better singer, I would sing it for you because there's a couple of songs that you might recognise here. So come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods, and in his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah and as you did that day at Massah in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Good morning. Good to be here. I'll just turn on my iPad, that might help. Ko tanaki te maunga, ko manua tu te awa no Taitoko ahau. Ko All Saints ki te whare karakia, ko Sione toku whānau, ko Davis toku ingoa, nō reira, tēnā koutou katoa. I thought I'd just greet you with mihi, not just because it's matariki and the weekend, but I've just become comfortable with it in the sense that it's about checking out connections of where I'm from. And we've been going over the Psalms, and I'll be honest with you, I am no expert at the Psalms. I am, let's just call it fresh into this kind of sense of how, getting to know this ancient language and the expressions of God's people. And so this has been a real big challenge for me. And I just want to say thank you, because I'm part of the family here. I was born in Wellington, but grew up in Levin, that's Taitoko. This is just a little spiel about me, so you know who I am. And then also, Taranaki is my mountain of significance, because before I came here to All Saints, there was about 3 years where I decided to take a little bit of sabbatical and actually seek God for where and what he wanted me to do. Where did he want me to be? What did he want me to do? And I had a feeling that was a significant turnaround point, for my life. And now I'm here, and I've been here 7 years. I serve on team here. Love the family here. And so those are a few connection things about me and who I am and how I got here. Okay, so we've been doing a series on Psalms. Brendan talked about how he felt like he got stitched up. I feel like I got stitched up on this one. It's the extremes, eh? It's the downs and then the ups, eh? Like, you know, whenever we're talking about those sad, tough moments, and even those moments of celebratory where we're worshiping God, I think whenever we talk about worship in the context of church, lots of things pop in your mind, I'm sure. And so there is a challenge there. I'll just talk a little bit about context, because we've been talking about context throughout the whole Book of Psalms, and I'm just going to say three simple things about it. We're talking about a collection of 150 ancient Hebrew poems, songs, and prayers. And they come from a period of Israel's history. Many of them are connected to this King David, almost half. Some are from Asaph, sons of Korah, Heman. We had that one last week that Brendan shared, Psalm 88. Solomon and Moses, and some of them are anonymous. Okay, so within the 150 books, it's compiled into five sections, five different books. Okay, and the book that I'm speaking out of, which my psalm comes out of, is book 4. Okay, And why is that important? It's because this book, from about Psalm 90 to 106, that's the compilation of book 4, is designed to be a response to the crisis of Israel as they're going through exile. So this book, from 90 to 106, Psalm 90 to 106, is a compilation of these response of Israel during the crisis of the exile. And it actually begins with Moses. And here he is calling out to God with the whole calf incident, if you know what that's about in Exodus. And he's asking God to show mercy. So within that book 4, my Psalm 95 is in there. And Psalm 95 and others within that book 4, there's a group of poems that are about announcing that the Lord, the God of Israel, reigns the true king. That all creation will be summoned to celebrate the future day when God will bring about his justice and his kingdom all over the world. Isn't that awesome? And so we have Psalm 95. A call to worship and obedience. And I've kind of broken this into kind of three sections. Just to take us through Psalms 95 and listen to what the psalmist may be trying to tell us. And I'll share a few thoughts as we go along the way. Verses 1 to 2. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with the songs of praise. Two thoughts, things that you will notice that I think the psalmist is trying to point to. Number one, let us. Let us, make us, let us come, all of us. There's this idea that the psalmist is talking about corporate worship, a time when we gather. And the second part in there is, come let us do what? So come let us sing. Everyone say sing.
Sing.
Awesome. That was better than what I thought it would be. Which is great. But come let us sing. Let us make a joyful noise. Let us come in his presence with thanksgiving. Let us sing songs of praise and worship. I get the feeling that this ain't placid worship. I just get the sense that it's not just the mumbling of words or the hands in your pockets. I just get the sense that actually there's an emotive, there's emotion in here. There's an expression. And I know what some of us may think, but worship is not about out of emotions. It's actually about truth, and that is true. But wouldn't it be an expression if we were singing out loud? So a little bit of context in this time. Remember the time that they are in. For Israelites, when they gather, when they come, there is an expectation that when they come together, when they come to meet their king, and they get to worship and sing songs to their king, and their king is there to meet them. It's like when they gather and they go to the temple, they are singing songs because no matter what they're going through, their God has brought them through and is faithful to his word. So there's this idea that when we gather and worship, when we come together, that we come because we worship and sing and we lift our voices because we don't just come because it's a great time, but actually we come because we come expecting to meet our Maker. And our Maker is coming to meet us. And it makes me think, so I grew up in Taitoko and Levin. And I did a little bit of music and grew up in worship team there and so forth. But I always, there was just something about how I grew up within that, in that little town. When we practiced, when we sang, when we worshiped, you just knew something was going to happen. There was this expectant that we didn't just play songs because we were great musicians or sing because we could sing. Actually, there was we expected that when the time came, we knew God was coming. He's already here, and we will come in and meet him. It was the preparation of us lifting our voices and our songs. And it made me think about that. And I'm really grateful to God that he's taken me on a huge journey through that act of coming. So let us come. Let us sing, which is an expression of emotion and truth. So the question for you on this section is, can you bring into mind a time where you were joyfully worshiping? Expressive. Entering into his presence. Expecting God to move. Expecting God to do something new in your life. Can you bring into mind a moment? Section 2, 3 to 5. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the heights of the mountains are also his. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land, which his hands have formed. So we come, we gather, we lift, we express, and we also come because we know who this God is. This God is the God, the Creator God, the God of the universe, the God that speaks life into existence, the God of the mountains, of the valleys, the God of the hills and the seas, the God that holds everything in his hands. We don't just come to any God, the God of all gods. We come to Creator God. When I think about this, I think about this idea of like grandiosity, this great God of the universe who just looks at us and is involved, is not just watching but involved. 6 and 7, the second part of that is where we see, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. That today we would listen to his voice. There's a shift of posture here from the psalmist. You got, we come, let us sing, let us lift our voices, let us praise the God Almighty. We come because it's the Creator God that we meet, not just any God, the God of all gods. And then we come and we bow down, we humble ourselves. We meet the shepherd and his hand which guides. This idea of this from grandiosity to personal. This God that is not distant, but is close. This God that's like a shepherd to a sheep when they are lost. This God that carries us and cares for us. This God that leads us when we're lost. This God that feeds us and protects us and heals us from sickness and danger. That's the imagery of the shepherd and his sheep. And then for this act of from all the way up here to on our knees. We make ourselves smaller. We acknowledge who we come to. This act of vulnerability to obey. And it's not just individual, it's also corporate. It's us, we come. And when I think about this image of us taking a knee, it's not usually Kiwi. You know, it's, oh, she'll be right. It's kind of that attitude. Now, about a month ago, I grew up, actually, I turned 40, and I joined a big kids club, so let the fun begin, and my wife said to me, oh, what do you want to do? And I said, oh, look, I do not want a party, please don't. And she said, what would you like to do? And I said, you know what, I'd actually like to visit my friends. So flew over to the ditch, caught up with 3 of my childhood friends. We still speak, we still kind of talk to each other. We meet each other every 2-3 years or so. And we just got talking about life. I went for like 4 days and four nights. And here I was, thought I was entering rest. And I grew up with these guys. We went to church together. We did life together. We were in groups together. And we sung and we worshipped together. We played sports. And we just did everything together. And as I got talking, one of my friends who became a professional sports person. He was really talented. He could play pretty much any code. And he was very successful. Traveled the world, lived his dreams, you name it. And over the last couple of years, a few of my friends have been like, you need to visit this guy because he just doesn't listen to anyone. And as a young kid, there was a group of like, probably like 7 of us who all hung out together. And for some reason, the only way I can describe him is like my son Uriah, who's always yelling, running around. He's just like, so imagine that adult version. And but every time in our close group of friends, I'd be able to just sit him down and talk. And so we actually had this moment where we were like, how you doing? What's going on? And it was such an honor. I was pretty overwhelmed by emotion, actually. As he opened up and shared, as they all opened up and shared. And it was just this idea that, you know, had everything he wanted, in a sense, and just could not find rest. Yeah, a lot of brokenness, a lot of brokenness in his family. And it reminded me of a story I think you'll know of, the woman who comes to Jesus' feet in Luke 7, mentioned as a sinful lady, and she's weeping. She's weeping over the feet of Jesus. And she's anointing his feet with oil. Her tears are on her feet. And she's low, right? She's right by his feet. And she's washing them with her hair. At no point in such an overwhelming emotional response of who she's in the room with, does Jesus rebuke her. At no point does Jesus push her away. And he doesn't minimize her. And when the Pharisees see this, they question her response. And the greatest thing about this moment of worship, this moment of noticing who I am sitting in front of, weeping and the kissing. And Jesus goes, at the moment when I walked in, she hasn't stopped weeping and kissing my feet. While you guys sit around like you're sitting around with just some normal person. He lifts her up. She becomes an example to all of us of what it looks like to come. To bow down, to worship, to be open. So my question is, when was the last time you heard his voice? When was the last time you felt the nudging of his spirit, the closeness at his feet, submitting to the shepherd who loves you anyway? 8-3, we go into our third section, which is verses 8-11. Do not harden your hearts as Meribah, or that day of Massa, in the wilderness when your ancestors tested me. They put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation, said, they are people whose hearts go astray. They do not regard my ways. Therefore, in my anger, I swore, they shall not enter my rest. Psalmist referring to this Old Testament story of God's people in Exodus. God had sent Moses to save them through a whole bunch of signs and wonders, freeing them from slavery and bondage. But time and time again, they would complain and they'll disobey. Moses ends up striking the rock, just takes it out, disobeys God, eventually leading them to worship a man-made golden calf. This is the image of disobedience and unfaithfulness. And more than that, I think the psalm is just trying to point to these hard hearts. And they never entered his promised land. Just before closing, Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews refers to Psalm 95. And he's writing to this group of people in the New Testament about following Jesus, this heart to worship, this heart to be obedient to the call and to who he is. And I understand that if you're new here today and maybe you don't know what I'm talking about here, and that could be possibly because you're learning about Jesus. But if you're here and you've got the mark of Jesus in your life, then my question to you is, are you experiencing the rest that he has for you? Are we experiencing the rest that we have in him? Who are those that we are listening to? Who are those that we might be bowing down to? What are the things in our life? Is it giving us life? Is it taking life away from us? Is it softening our hearts to his presence? Or is it hardening our hearts? I'm going to suggest that is Psalm 95 relevant to us today? Yes. That we are called as his family to worship in song and in praise and in adoration for who he is, God of the universe, Creator God, the same God that through Jesus comes down and meets us. I just get the image in my mind of when I finally realized this Jesus was with me, was real, was King. When I realized how grand he was, the image I keep getting in my mind was me being in a burning building and my life just about to end and he's nowhere to go. And someone comes and he just kicks the door down. And he grabs me and he puts me on his shoulders. And he runs me to safety. I think about that. And it would be a reasonable response to worship, to bow down, to come, to allow him to meet me where I am. And allow him to soften my heart to the realities of his glorious realities in life. So this morning, Andrew asked me, do you have a landing? I said, I don't. I really don't. But what is a faithful response to that, God? What is a faithful truthful, emotional response to that God. Come, let us worship, let us sing with thanksgiving and praise. God of all gods, King of all kings, come, let us bow down together. Let us enter his rest. And the invitation might simply be, where is he inviting you in? What is he inviting you to this morning? Let's pray. Abba, Father, for you are so good. There are no words to express, but Lord, you are great and you are good. And we ask, Father, that you would do what you do best. Call us back to you. Soften our hearts, Lord. To rest, Lord, in the reality that you are worthy to be praised, to be proclaimed, to be worshipped. Lead us. Meet us this morning. Lord, Father, we don't want to leave the same. Meet us. Again, afresh on you. Breathe on us. Soften our hearts, Holy Spirit, to hear your voice. In your mighty and wonderful name, Jesus.